ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here comes the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joe Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Oh, hell yeah. You about to get all stung up.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's Joe George, assistant to the regional manager behind the glass, and it is a Wednesday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. We doing good? Everybody good?
Everybody good?
Gonna have a good day? Everybody?
Joe?
All gonna have a good day?
Gonna do my best.
Blankers, myself, Joe.
Joe, how's your day going leading into this? Because yesterday wasn't your best effort. You were struggling. You were on the struggle bus. You had a bad day yesterday. You good today?
I had a bad, like, first hour.
No, maybe it pretty was much the was first all hour. Three.
Maybe 2 hours.
First hour was the roughest.
Then you broke off and did what we said you didn't have to do, to go get an intern from the second floor or first floor, whatever.
We did talk him out of that.
Yeah.
How does that? When are you posting the video? The pre-show video?
It's not my fault.
Your fault. When are
we posting the pre-show tweet?
When's the last time we did a pre-show show? Video?
I'm working
we
on
started
that.
Doing.
Yeah. We had big plans of,
grandiose ideas.
Yeah, we had huge plans. We're going to do great things, and it's the summer of the bees, Joe George. It's the summer of the bees.
It's the summer of slander. Apparently,
is it slander if it's true?
Yes,
I don't think that's the case.
It's not slander if it's true.
It's not slander if it's true.
It's promotion because we're just putting it out there after you did to us what no one should be able to do.
We never said anything yet. I mean, it definitely maybe dragged you, but it wasn't slanderous. Like, whenever we said that you posted the pre-show tweet at 12:09, it was posted at 12:09. Like, there's no way that you're going to be able to get slander on us. We might be, embarrassing you, and I don't think we're embarrassing you, but we might be like, bringing you down, dragging you, all of that stuff. But slanderous is going a little too far, Joe.
I mean, we asked.
Also, I've taken it too far now.
Yeah, we innocently asked if we did a pre-show video.
We did ask that at 12:01.
At 12:01, and then you said it's not my fault.
To be fair, Joel asked before the show.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, walking into the studio.
It was 11:58, but.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, probably a little bit too late at that point. Although, you never know. You never know. All right, Astros lost baseball yesterday. They had a worse day offensively than Joe George did yesterday from the 12:01 hour. This is your typical Astros score 10 runs the night before. They're not going to produce anything offensively. It's amazing. Like, death taxes, Astros offense not showing up after they score double-digit runs. That's what happened yesterday. Kevin Gausman, though, was unbelievable in that game against the Houston Astros yesterday. Punched out 13 dudes, which matched a career high. I think he's now tied in Major League Baseball for the most strikeouts of any pitcher in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, he's up there.
But whenever you strike out Yordan Alvarez twice in a game and Alex Bregman three times in a game, Bregman never strikes out. Alvarez you can get every now and then, but twice in a game is something. You get Alex Bregman three times in one game, you're pitching really well. The Astros ran into a buzzsaw yesterday. That's one of the games where you just tip your cap. You hope you get them the next day.
I know this is going to sound very Ben DuBose-ish, but the only thing that I would say is...
Umpire strike zone was terrible.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for following the lead.
I was just wondering if that was where you're going.
If you have a guy as good as Gausman, the one thing that makes it extremely difficult to get anything going on is when he gets an expanded strike zone. He lives down low. He was getting the lower than the strike zone strike, at least it looked like, according to the K zone. And he was getting in particular the outside corner, but he was getting both corners a lot. And that just gives a guy who's really good the ability to be even better than really good and do the dominant things he did yesterday. And then on top of it, his stuff is devastating, and you've got guys chasing all over the place on his all of his pitches. So tip your cap and just understand that you got by one of the better pitchers in baseball.
Watching that game, though, I didn't think that the umpiring was like an issue one way or the other. Like, was it a bigger strike zone? Yeah. Do I think it was one-sided? I didn't. Like Hunter Brown got a couple of calls below the knees, too. I felt like it was a pretty consistent zone. Like, he was given the low strike, and he was given the outside corner against right-handed hitters.
And I wasn't even trying to make it about, like, they got calls that we didn't get.
Yeah, it was a bigger zone.
It was a bigger zone with a better pitcher, and that's a recipe for disaster because he's just going to have a field day. And we go back to what Maddux used to do when he got a couple inches off the black on either side of the plate. Well, if you give a guy as good as Gausman in any kind of an expanded zone, expect that he's going to dominate even more so, and he did.
If you told me, though, that a pitcher was going to, or an umpire was going to have an expanded zone before yesterday's matchup with Gausman and Hunter Brown, I would have taken it. I would have taken that because I want an expanded zone when Hunter Brown's pitching. He's somebody that doesn't necessarily, like, he has command, but not excellent command.
Mm-hmm.
He even talked about that in the post game yesterday. Like, when he gets in trouble, he's walking a few and he's missing spots. Like, I thought Hunter Brown pitched overall pretty good. I thought he had trouble on two strike counts, like putting hitters away. There was a bunch of times when he had 0-2, 1-2 counts, and he was missing just like non-competitive pitches, like missing by several feet out of the strike zone, which that's frustrating because you want to be competitive on those pitches. You don't want to throw a strike on those pitches, but you want to be competitive. You want to get a swing and a miss every now and then on 0-2, 1-2. He was throwing 0-2, 1-2 pitches several feet off of the outside corner. So that was a bit frustrating. I didn't think he was at his absolute best. But I thought he was good enough to win. He gave up three hits yesterday to a potent offense. Now, two of those were home runs. But overall, I thought Hunter Brown was fine. I mean, you give up three runs over six innings, that's an okay start.
Yeah, no, I don't have any real qualms with Hunter Brown either. The one home run had to be reviewed from Varsho.
Yeah, that was a weird play.
Yeah, but overall, you'll take, again, a pitcher that keeps you in the game. And just as we've said about Belak and we've said about, you know, France, and now you can say it continuously about Brown, is the fact that they keep you in a ball game. They give you a chance to win. It's on your offense at a certain point, and the responsibility and the finger pointing should start with the offense rather than the pitching if the pitching is a quality start. And he was quality start-esque, and three runs or less is all you can ask for, especially for a young pitcher like that. So he did fine.
Yeah, I thought he was fine. He wasn't his absolute best, but I thought he was good enough to win. George Springer got to him. Varsho, you mentioned, got to him. I like that move, by the way. They upgraded in left field.
Oh, yeah.
I take.
Yep.
I think Varsho's a better player than Teoscar Hernandez. Teoscar Hernandez was putting up, and again, former Astro. You got him for Francisco Lenore. Francisco Leonardo. What was his last name? Leonardo?
No.
Francisco
Liriano.
Liriano. Okay, there you go. The Astros traded Teoscar Hernandez for Francisco Liriano. But I think that they upgraded in left field, getting rid of Teoscar and bringing in Varsho. I think overall that was a good move. The topic, I think, whenever you look at that game yesterday and you just kind of read the tea leaves of how things are going for the Houston Astros, and look, Yiner Diaz playing yesterday over Martin Maldonado is not going to wash away a four-run delta. Like, you lose that game 5-1. Gausman had tons of punchies. You're not winning that game with Yiner Diaz. That's not the case.
Right.
But whenever you have a game in which you score one run on four hits, and Martin Maldonado, who is not a good offensive player, goes 0-3, and his batting average goes under the Mendoza line again, you're going to have the fan base that is very vocal about Yiner Diaz needing to be the everyday catcher for this team. And we're seeing that today. Didn't help that Dana Brown went on the flagship and kind of gave his opinion that he really loves Yiner Diaz, and Martin Maldonado is really loved by Dusty Baker. And I think that we're pretty fair with how we treat the catcher position for this team. I think we're fair how we treat Martin Maldonado. I think we look at the value that he does bring to this team, kind of the invisible value, because it's like calling pitches, being able to be the psychological guy behind the dish to help out a young pitcher. But whenever you have games like that, and it seems like you have real conflict, and I don't think it's like they're mad at each other, but you have Dana Brown, who is obviously a Yiner Diaz believer. You have Dusty Baker, who's obviously a Martin Maldonado believer. And when you score one run in a game, Martin Maldonado's 0-4, goes under the Mendoza line again, you're going to have a very vocal fan base that is pro-Yiner Diaz and anti-Martin Maldonado.
Well, and I think the bigger issue goes back to even what we've said in the past, which is Dusty's not afraid to sit someone down that's red hot. And when you talk about the extra base hits over the last two games, like he's had four of them in the last two games, that he was really, really hot coming into last night's game, and everybody was, first thing they were looking at before the game even started was, is he in the lineup? When he's not in the lineup, it's a little bit of a head scratcher. Then coming out of the game with what you said, now there's even more to point fingers at and go, what are we doing here? And why are we doing it? And I agree with you. I don't think that there's like animosity between Dana Brown and Dusty Baker, but I do believe that both kind of use the media as a tool from time to time. And Dana used it as an opportunity to say, hey, it's Dusty's job to find a spot in the lineup for a guy like him, especially when he's hitting like he's hitting. So it doesn't necessarily, he probably left the door open that doesn't have to be at catcher, But you could you can read between the lines enough to think that I think he's indicating he'd like it to be more at catcher. But it is what it is right now because he's put it in Dusty's lap to say it's still your call.
The reasonings that you've heard from Dusty Baker, like McTaggart tweeted this yesterday. I think this was from the pregame, like whenever they meet in the dugout, because I couldn't find video of it, and I watched the postgame press conference that he had there in the clubhouse in his locker. Or in his office, I should say, in the clubhouse. He said, Maldi, this is Dusty. Maldi works well with everybody. The last few games, Maldi's caught Hunter because I just didn't want him to not catch Hunter, and then all of a sudden he has to catch Hunter maybe later in the year or something, and he doesn't know him. Maldi takes control of the game. It's tough when you've got rookies on the mound. It's tough when you have a rookie catcher and a rookie on the mound. Like I said, Yiner is still trying to learn his craft, and he's on-the-job training. I love hitting, but there's more to catching than hitting, more than any other position on the field other than the pitcher, and the pitcher doesn't hit. That's part of our defense. They don't score, we're not losing, but we got a better chance to win. So, Dusty, as you kind of try to like read through the minutia there, he thinks that Maldi's defensive prowess behind the dish, and lots of variables go into defense, pop time, catch and throw, framing, guiding a pitcher through, calling a game, et cetera, et cetera. He thinks that Maldi, in that aspect, outweighs what Yiner's going to bring you with his bat. And most people would disagree with that.
Right. Yeah, and we had the discussion the other day, and whether Maldi is capable or they want to do this or not, if you believe that calling pitches is such a value, well, then Maldi could call the pitches from the dugout.
Yeah, you almost never see that. Like, you never see backup catchers call a game from the dugout on their day off, though. Like, can the Astros be innovative and do it? Yes, but it is not the norm.
Whether it's the norm or not, I'm saying, getting to the bigger point of Dusty is loyal, his loyal beyond what normal managers would be.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that he has had this staunch loyalty from Maldi to where even if you offered up, hey, if calling pitches and doing some of the things that you're saying that Yiner needs to work on, well, you know what? Maldi can help him through and, you know, basically be an extra bench coach on the games he's not playing, things like that. Dusty ain't going for it. Dusty's not going for it because Dusty in his heart of hearts and in Pawpaw's belly believes in Maldi.
I don't think it's fair for Maldi to do that on his off days either, though. Like, if you're trying to get a guy a day off, I don't feel like that's really a true day off.
But like, if he's going to be getting more days off because you're going to be putting Yiner out there more,
yeah.
Then you're still getting paid. So I think that at a certain point, you're on the payroll. I get what you're saying, that if he's getting a true day off, then just kind of don't put the spikes on today and relax.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're getting more than your normal days off, then if we need you, that's part of being a good teammate as we try and sort through all this as we go forward. So
it's a weird dynamic, though, because it'd be like we're going to do the rundown for an up-and-coming person that's going to take over for our show. Like, it's a really weird
dynamic. It's Roethlisberger and yeah, Kenny Pickett or whoever was before him, or Rodgers and Favre, or, you know, all those situations where the starter has a real problem grooming and big brothering the heir apparent right to your job.
Which I don't think Maldi does.
I don't either.
For the record. Like, I don't get that sense from Maldi. I feel like Maldi is a good teammate. Maldi has been good to Yiner. And I feel like Maldi has been very helpful to him.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, I want Martin Maldonado on the coaching staff next year. If I'm being completely honest, I don't want Martin Maldonado to go anywhere. I understand the value of Martin Maldonado. I don't mind if Martin Maldonado is still the primary catcher for this team. But you have to find a way to get Yiner Diaz 5 games a week. You have to find a way to get him in the lineup 5 days a week. 713-780-ESPN. Dana Brown had some things to say before the game yesterday, too, at the Rogers Center. Chandler Rome wrote about it in The Athletic. I wanted to get to some of this, too, because we have, like, our first internal strife, conflict. I don't think anybody's mad at each other. Differences of opinion. They're not seeing eye to eye between Dana Brown and Dusty Baker, and this has been a trend for Dusty Baker in the last couple of years with certain general managers. Where do you weigh in on the whole Dusty, Dana Brown, Yiner Diaz, Martin Maldonado stuff? And we'll also illustrate how bad the Astros have been after they score 10 runs in a game. It ain't great. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN97.5 and ESPN92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. If you don't know what it is and you've got pattern baldness, thinning, or just straight out baldness, and you just don't know what to do about it other than shave your head, before you do anything drastic, before you try those sprays and creams and foams that just mask the problem, go to 975hair.com. 975hair.com is going to show you a way that you can get your hair back. It's your hair. It's all yours. It's all natural. And there's a way to get it back and keep it so that you can have a better overall appearance and more confidence on a daily basis. 975hair.com will give you a free opportunity to set up an appointment with Doc Linville and his staff and learn about the NeoGraft procedure. Simply put, the NeoGraft procedure is taking hair where you're never going to lose it. Genetically, you're never going to lose it on the sides and the back. Putting it where you're needing it most. Maybe it's in the front at your hairline. Maybe it's up top. They will take care of everything for you, and the process is successful. What you'll learn in the meeting is 95 to 99% of the follicles moved are going to stay and grow and be with you for the long haul, and you'll notice it immediately, but in about 6 to 9 months, you will see true, solid, strong hair results that you are going to be very pleased with. Check them out today and tell them I sent you by, because I had the procedure and I could not be happier with it. You could be the next to do the same. 975hair.com. Go see my friend Doc Linville.
ESPN 97.5 in the studio with the candlestick.
Flames on the side of my face, breathing, breathless, heaving.
Welcome back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5. Killer bees are also known as Africanized bees. And we all know there's nothing Africanized about these two guys. It's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Cool, Spence. Thanks. Little Geddy Lee. Big baseball fan. Huge supporter. Very generous with his baseballs, too. He might be. He's a big Toronto Blue Jay fan. Sits behind the plate, I've been told. So maybe we'll see him at the Rogers Center as the Astros and Blue Jays continue their four-game series tonight. Martin Maldonado, Yiner Diaz, the conversation here. I think it's the lead story when you're looking at the Astros. 8437, I'm sure we were just giving Maldy the pass on this one because it was clearly Hunter Brown's fault for missing his spots, right? Not because Maldy may not have called a decent game this time. The way I see it, both of these catchers can call good and bad games. Why not go with the catcher that throws people out at a higher rate and can actually put the ball or the bat on the ball? This to me isn't a one-game conversation. This isn't a conversation about what the Astros did yesterday. They lost 5-1. This isn't about Martin Maldonado going 0-3. Yiner Diaz playing for Martin Maldonado yesterday doesn't create you four runs. Nope. This isn't the Astros lost yesterday because Yiner Diaz wasn't. It's not that. This is a big picture conversation. This is what gives your team the best chance to win the most amount of games, because today's game 162. There's 100 games left after the season after today. 200 games left of the season after today. So it's a big picture conversation. This has nothing to do with yesterday. Look, Hunter Brown was adamant that he missed his spots on those pitches. He said the pitch to Springer wasn't awful, but said that he left it a little bit not as up and tight as he wanted it. The Varsho pitch wasn't awful, but he wanted that off the plate, not clipping the outside corner. So he missed his spot by a couple of inches, and that's the margin sometimes in baseball when the other team is good, that they're going to take advantage of even the smallest of mistakes. And that's what happened to Hunter Brown twice yesterday, giving up a couple of gopher balls on the three hits that he gave up. This isn't a single-game conversation, though. This is a Yiner, Martin Maldonado, what gives you the best chance to win over the next 101 games. And quite frankly, it comes down to Yiner over Maldy offensively. Is that greater than whatever Maldy does defensively over Yiner?
What it comes down to is it's not just the next 101 games. It's what you do with the most important games after that, which would be the postseason, which you presume you're going to be a part of, and which we've had these conversations in the past as we kind of set the table for scenarios, not only for the regular season, but more importantly, as we get into the playoffs and we start talking about what if you get down in a series? What if your offense is struggling and you know you need an extra bat? We had these discussions a year ago. We had these very scenarios painted out for us, or that we painted out for you, because we knew it was something that we might have to be talking about, because we knew with Vasquez, he was a far better hitter than Maldy. And we knew that we thought that when the deal was made, that there was going to be a move or move subsequently made at the end of the regular season to get him as well-versed with the pitching staff as possible so that he could play a role in the postseason. It turned out he was a glorified fill-in and an insurance policy. Now we're talking about it with a younger prospect that looks like he's going to be the catcher of the future for your squad.
Yep.
So it's even different because it's even more, and it's more pressing because Maldi's done after this year contractually. I'm with you. I would love to see him on the coaching staff. Lord, no, we don't know what he wants to do, if he wants to keep playing or not.
He could probably get a playing job, I think, too.
Probably.
I think he could be a backup somewhere for sure.
Yeah, backup if he's willing to do it. He maybe get it here, and maybe the roles are reversed, and he stays within the organization. But at the same time, you know Yiner probably as soon as the start of next season is going to be your number one starting catcher. So if that's the case, get him ready now because you're sitting in a situation with your rotation where he's caught more of these pitchers as a whole than the guys at the top of the rotation. Because other than Javier and Fromber and some Hunter Brown, but for the most part, he's caught more of Hunter Brown. He's caught more of Belak and Blanco and France. So you know that he already knows these pitchers better than if he was just thrust into trying to catch Justin Verlander and some of the guys when they were worried about him last year. So in the dog days of the season, especially when guys need days off and other things, and he knows these pitchers, catch him more against these pitchers, get him more experience. If he continues to hit the ball, now you know what you can do, whether Dusty will do it or not. If you're down in a series, you need more offense, or you know what you have the flexibility to do because of what he brings to the table.
Yeah. See, like, maybe I'm hedging here a little bit, but I don't mind if Yiner Diaz is still the backup catcher of this team. But it's about getting Yiner Diaz maximizing his plate appearances by a variety of different means, whether it's backup catcher and backup first base, and then get a DH spot every now and then whenever Yordan's in left field. Because I do agree with Dusty that there is some value to Martin Maldonado behind the dish. Do I think that the value that Maldonado has over Yiner Diaz and the intangibles of catching are greater than what Yiner Diaz's delta is offensively versus Martin Maldonado? I do not. But I'm also not going to bang my head against that fake brick wall over and over whenever Martin Maldonado is in the starting lineup over Yiner Diaz 5 times out of 7 games a week. I'm not going to do that. But what I will bang my head on the wall with is if Yiner Diaz isn't starting 5 games in a variety of different ways. Like, figure out a way to get him involved, to get him in the lineup. He's, I think, one of the top 5 offensive players on this team.
It's one thing, Jeremy, if we're sitting here and we're just on our own and the fan base just on their own is saying, God, this guy needs more at-bats. It's another thing if your general manager goes out there and puts a direct number on how many at-bats he should have.
300.
And you are way behind it so far to date, right? So that's where you know that he already has made this a priority that is not getting prioritized. And you know that he knows the kid can play. At least he can hit.
Especially when you were having 3 catchers. Like, that was the reason you had 3 catchers. It's because you were supposed to be playing Yiner Diaz in the starting lineup 5 times a week. You also had Dana Brown. Because I think that we're seeing... conflict might be too big of a word. I think it is a disagreement. Not seeing eye to eye between Dana Brown and Dusty Baker with the catcher usage of this team and the Yiner Diaz usage of this team. Dana Brown talking to the media yesterday, read this on Chandler Rome's piece in The Athletic. He said, I like when he's in the lineup. I like what Diaz brings to the table. I like his power. His OPS is climbing. Ultimately, I'd like to see him in the lineup more. I mean, that is a direct quote. Direct quote, ultimately, I'd like to see him in the lineup more. Who's making the lineup? Dusty Baker's making the lineup.
He flat out calls him out.
He says, but Dusty's running the team. He's the manager, and it's his job ultimately to find a place for him to get in the lineup. I think he will do that. I think it's a matter of the dog days of August, the middle of July. He could get a little bit more time. So you have Dana Brown saying, I want to see Diaz in the lineup more. He's saying that I have my opinions. Dusty has his. Dusty's running the team. I want him in the lineup more often. It's a disagreement between Dana Brown and Dusty Baker. And quite frankly, this is consistent with Dusty Baker as the manager of the Houston Astros. What happened the last time there was a catcher dilemma between general manager and manager? It was Wilson Contreras at the trade deadline. The Astros had a deal done to bring in Contreras.
Burkitty.
But who turned it down? Dusty Baker said no. So, like, that's, like, part of the reason that I think James Click doesn't want to be here. Yeah, Baggy, yeah. Reggie, like, they're all, like, that little hierarchy with the Houston Astros, general, like, front office, whatever.
It's like, a click.
Absolutely. It's
against click.
It's a click against click. But this is kind of like the power dynamic of this organization. Again, I don't think that this is like a there's a feud here. I don't think it's that hot or heated between these two. But like, I think that Dusty Baker has the trump card over Dana Brown. And I don't know, especially in baseball in 2023, if the manager should have the trump card over the general manager.
There's so much to uncover here because, one, you want the media, the Houston media, to have the cojones to go in today and ask Dusty about Dana's comments.
Oh, they will. I bet you Chandler Rome will.
I hope the hell they do, okay? Because the other thing is, as we kind of peel back the curtain a little bit. Dusty used the media to talk about Maldi.
Yeah.
Dusty used the media to talk about the shortcomings Yiner still has to work at his catcher. Dana used the media to talk about the fact that he feels like Yiner should be out there more and he should be getting more at-bats and play it, and then put it on Dusty. If it ends there, it becomes a problem. Now, instead of a professional disagreement, it can be a conflict, and it can be organization changing in the short term. If they can now come to Jesus and come together and grab a conference room or get in Dusty's office in pregame and sit down and say, hey, man, let's talk about, and obviously we both said what we had to say about Yiner and the situation. Let's just talk about, you know, where we're at with this. If they can talk it through after the fact, that's a healthy relationship. That's the way an organization is supposed to run.
Yeah.
But my fear is if they don't talk about it, this is the first ruffling of the feathers of Dusty that he's going to take exception to, and he may just go off the deep end the other way going, oh, that's what he's saying? That's how he feels? What if I don't play the kid at all?
Look, I'm probably on the Dana Brown side of this conversation because I do want to see Yiner Diaz more without technically him being the primary catcher. But this is an example, like we talked about Dana Brown being uber transparent and how we love it for what we do, but how it can be damaging a bit. He flat out said, it's a quote from Dana Brown, I'd like to see him in the lineup more. We know how defensive Dusty Baker is about his lineup, and here you have your general manager questioning your lineup. That's huge. That's huge.
That's why it's always easier to
shut up.
To start relationships new. GM, manager, GM, coach, everyone on the same page. Dusty's not Dana's guy. Like, Dusty Baker's a Jim Crane guy. It didn't work with Click. Now it seems to be a little tension about, like, if Dana Brown hired Dusty Baker, he could force him to play his hand.
Yeah.
Like, this is the guy you're going to play. This is what I hired you for. This is what we agreed to in the interview process. But, like, that dynamic doesn't exist. And that's why, like, Dusty Baker's going to win now. I think it's over 125 games or whatever.
Don't you believe that Dana Brown, when he took the job, realized, hey, look, I'll deal with Dusty because it's short term.
No, I do. I think that's why it's not a simmering tension.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't think it's that heated.
It's just like,
but Dusty Baker is going to see this quote, and his general manager is questioning his lineup.
It ain't going to sit well.
How's this analogy? And I like Blankers. I think that you have a little bit more of a temper than I do. What if the wheelhouse told you what your rundown needed to look like every day? That's how Dusty Baker's going to feel.
I'll tell him, don't even bother picking a cheek. You can kiss my whole ass.
713-780-ESPN, the HRMP list in our line. A lot of people have thoughts on this, want to weigh in. 713-780-3776. Dana Brown questioning Dusty Baker's lineup. And I think that we're mostly on the Dana Brown side of it. We would like to see more Yiner Diaz behind the dish. Also, while the Astros lost yesterday, not great. The Rangers won. They don't stop winning. All they do is win.
Did they win Arlington. Or did they win and lose?
Who?
The Rangers.
Well, everybody knew DeGrom was going to be out.
I don't know that everybody thought that he was going to have Tommy John surgery.
I didn't put much stock in DeGrom pitching many games. Just like I don't put much stock in Lance McCullers pitching many
games. I know we when they signed him.
Yeah.
But I didn't think that once, first year of a big new deal, that we would think that their shiny new toy would go down after, what, six starts?
It doesn't shock me.
It's not shocking with his health, but it is shocking that the Rangers did this and it happened the way it did.
Let me phrase it this way. Would you be more surprised had Jacob DeGrom started 30 games or started six games this year?
30.
Exactly. Yeah. but to the bigger point, the standings in the AL West. We'll talk about the Maldi, Diaz, Dusty, Dana Brown stuff, but also the Astros now 4.5 games back in the standings. Are we watching the standings yet? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You do like me.
I just don't like you no more. You do like me.
You don't.
All teams covered. No stalking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Blankers is asking Joe George what
Joe,
the song is.
DJ Joe George, since you pick all the cuts. What is this?
Nelly Furtado.
It's not even the most popular Nelly.
It isn't. And I don't think you pulled this Nelly because you like this song. And if you did, you're weird.
I don't like any of the music we're playing, basically.
But you play it.
Because you guys played the same song.
We didn't.
We didn't have a single thing to say about it because Brendan was the puppeteer.
Yeah, Brendan was a puppeteer, and we sacked him.
The former consultant on the station made the shows play the same exact songs every single day. So I'm trying to find a playlist.
Facts.
Send me suggestions at Joe George Radio.
Okay, had good Selena.
He had good initials, though.
Yeah, he was Killer B.
Yep.
Through and through.
Killer JB.
Day one, that's true, if you want to go a step further. Yeah. Day one, Donna says, Astros won a World Series under Dusty's coaching. I'm not questioning Dusty's lineups. 2 exclamation points. You know who is questioning Dusty's lineups, though? His general manager, Dana Brown. I'd like to see him, Diaz, in the lineup more. Dusty's running the team. He's the manager. And it's his job, ultimately, to find a place for him to get in the lineup. So, Donna, you might not be questioning Dusty's lineups, but the general manager of the Houston Astros, Dana Brown, is questioning Dusty Baker's lineups. You know what Dana Brown is doing? He's one of us. Whenever he sees the Astros on Twitter, post the lineup every single day, he's like, what is wrong with Dusty's lineup at Jeremy Branham?
But you turn the corner.
What do you mean?
You don't question him anymore.
I don't care about lineups and batting orders in the early part of June.
Dusty won you over.
No, I don't care about the batting orders. I don't care about lineups. I really don't. I care about how much a guy's playing, though. Like, and if Yiner Diaz is your fifth best offensive player, I think he is. He needs to start 5 games a week, not one time a week. I do care about that. I care about playing time. I care about plate appearances. I care about ABs. I don't care if Yiner Diaz is batting 9th playing 5 times a week, but I need him in the lineup 5 times a week.
This is why I got so mad, you know, in years past with Dusty, because he sits the hot guy, because he does things that are so unconventional that I need to try and find some way to make sense of it. Like, if a guy's struggling, if a guy's like Abreu has been all year, but when he was really struggling after the first month of the season, sit him down. You know, I understand that you want to try and take a little less wear and tear on your best players, and you want to give them healthy days off, sit them down. That's fine. But when they're hot, find another day to sit them down. Like, if they're coming off, you know, 7 of their last 10, and they're hitting the cover off of it, I don't want to see him resting the very next day. I'd like to see them wait a day or two. If they cool off a little bit, okay, time to sit down. But he does that a lot, and then when he kind of doubles down on it by not only, say, Altuve's red hot, and in a year past, he would put the non-hitting Dubon in his place in the field, but he'd also bat him at leadoff where Altuve was hitting. And I'm going, now why in the hell are we doing that?
See, that's what I'm not going to care about. I'm not going to care about the batting order. I think that's largely overrated. Yeah, I think that, you know, you can still run a week, you know, if you optimize the batting order just right. I don't care about that one run a week. I don't think
but
it really translates to wins and losses.
Your opportunity to win.
I get it. No, I get it. Like, I'm not going to really put up a huge fight one way or the other on what the batting order looks like. Playing time, I will put up a fight over. 713-780-ESPN at HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. 6941, Dusty said he inherited the keys to the Ferrari. Why is he driving it like a Studebaker Starlight Coupe? Did I say all that right? A lot of weird
sounds
words
right
there. Studebaker Starlight Coupe. What is a Studebaker Starlight
an
Coupe?
Old car.
So we're calling... That
wasn't produced for very long, I don't think.
So it's kind of like the DeLorean,
like
which is out in Humble, by the way.
I think an Edsel was another one that had a short lifespan.
So if we're translating this text to, you know, guys who don't know a whole lot about cars, yours truly, he's calling Dusty Baker old. He's calling Dusty Baker old by calling him a Studebaker Starlight Coupe.
I don't know if he's calling him old as
a Studebaker Dusty Baker.
Irresponsible or not. Like, he's not using the...
He's got a race car. He's treating it like a station wagon.
You're not taking the well-tuned machine and maximizing it.
Appreciate the translation. Thank you for that. 6941, the Ferrari has a flat and Dusty's too old to fix it. That's me. We're not gonna sit here and have age jokes with the Killer Bees. 713-780-3776. Don't make fun of people's age. 713-780-3776. We're not doing that on the Killer Bees.
Joe does.
Dusty's a dinosaur. Stop sending those texts in. We're not reading any ageism on the Killer Bees. We will not do that. 713-780-3776.
Yeah, we don't talk about how Joel Blank was alive from when Bart Starr was the Packers.
Brendan. Was there a lot of concussions when they wore leather helmets? Were there? A lot of that?
I like this text. In basketball, you ride the hot hand. In Dusty's world, you bench him to cool him off.
Yeah.
It's pretty true.
3830, he's scared to drive it. 8437, DH, first base catcher. I don't care what position it is to get him more playing time. That's where I'm at. I don't care where you play him. I don't care where he's at in the batting order, but you play him. A couple of the Twitchers here, OG, defending Maldonado because he's a veteran leader is just as bad as wanting Correa for his mound visits. Touche, OG. That's a really good comment. I like that one, which, yeah. Apparently, the Astros are never going to recover from Carlos Correa's leadership and his ability to visit the mound. Won a World Series first year he's gone. Coug Blaze, if Diaz gets in lineup more, I bet Maldonado's production will go up. Competition is good for the team. I don't know if I would go that far, Coug Blaze, but what I will say, like, my plan here, if Diaz is starting two games behind the dish, if he's starting two games at first base, you know what that does do for Maldonado and Abreu? It gives them, like, days off. If we think the days off make guys fresh, which Dusty does, then this could be a benefit for both of those guys, too.
Well, look, it keeps them fresh. You know, a lot of these guys, as they get older, have a lot more difficulty trying to deal with the wear and tear of the daily grind. And at the same time, to the previous texter's point, too, about whoever said it on Twitch, in terms of the competition, I've always been a big fan, whether if it's Texans that we're talking about, at the quarterback or other positions, or anywhere, that competition brings out the best in your players. And if they know that, hey, look, Abreu, it doesn't matter what you sign for and for how many years, we still can make decisions on who plays. And if you know that we're going to give a guy playing time and it bothers you, maybe that's good. Maybe that motivates you a little bit more. Obviously, with Maldi, it's a little different because, you know, you're actually training a guy on-job training to get a guy that's going to take over for you. But at the same time, if you're trying to win ball games and that's the ultimate goal for this squad and get back to where you were a year ago, then nothing else should matter. And they should all be on all hands on deck to do whatever is necessary. I know it's difficult because of the egos involved,
yeah.
But I think an extra day off for both Maldi and Abreu, I don't think that should be a problem.
Is there a more polarizing conversation than Dusty Baker is the manager of the Astros? Because like right now you're seeing it on the Twitch and the text line a bit. Poncho, Dusty's a high IQ manager. Dusty will be due tons of apologies when he wins this upcoming World Series. Mega Blast, Dusty getting a pass because they won the World Series is asinine. In Dusty, I trusty, says one texture, which I have a t-shirt that says
that.
You texted
that in?
I didn't. I was tweeting while you were talking. I wasn't texting this time.
Right.
0446, I tell you what, the feeling in Papa's gut got two World Series appearances and one win. It did. There's also, look, I like Dusty Baker as the manager. I think that he plays the psychological game more than he plays like the game management game. And I think that there's way more value in the psychological part than managing one of 162. Quite frankly, I do. And his resume is very good. Now, he does some questionable things that we all question because it's, you know, we should question it. But I like Dusty Baker as the manager. But I do think it is a polarizing conversation where you have one half of the fan base like, oh, we love Dusty for everything he's done. We'll never say a bad word about Dusty. And then you have the other half of the population's like, well, the Astros won in spite of Dusty Baker. It's incredibly polarizing.
It is.
It's almost like James Harden polarizing where half the fan base, yeah, bring back Harden. We love him. Leads the league in assists. The other half, do you know who James Harden is? Absolutely not.
I think it's just kind of how it is. I mean, think about, like, we'd be having these same conversations if it was AJ. I mean, like,
I think AJ would get more of a pass.
I think AJ would understand it.
I think he would get way more of a pass.
Most people,
I also
like,
think
say
that
AJ,
from an analytical perspective, and because he's seeing big picture as well as the here and now, he would be more likely to go along with Dana Brown.
But most people say AJ cost the Astros the World Series in 19.
Yeah, they did. But
that
I
was,
feel like they gave him a pass off that, though.
Playoffs.
Because he was liked and because people think he's a good manager, I think that AJ got more of a pass of making that decision.
I think it's hard because he got
Dusty
fired
Baker
2 months
the,
later.
But he got fired for something that was not related to that
like
at
we
all.
Didn't get, we didn't get to see like what was the response to that the next season.
Oh, like, okay,
like,
I see what you're saying.
Like the next time he made a bad decision for the Astros,
I mean,
like what the fans would say.
The biggest response is going to be in the moment. It's going to be the next day. It's going to be right then. But if Dusty Baker made that move and not AJ Hinch, I think Dusty Baker catches way more heat. Way more heat.
See, I don't know,
because
like honestly, I think there's
that was
a chance AJ's
biggest moment of the year too.
I think
right,
AJ
but
could
if,
be back.
But Dusty would have been making the biggest moment of the year.
Right.
I'm saying if Dusty Baker made the same decision that AJ Hinch did, Dusty gets crushed way more than AJ.
I don't
did.
Think way more. I think they both get crushed the same.
Yeah,
I think
I
the problem
think so.
That might lead up to it is that if Dusty was Dustying all the way to that moment more so than AJ was, that maybe your point is correct.
But that would be true because Dusty is going to Dusty because Dusty always Dusties. Like Dusty gets more. Like vitriol about his lineups right now than A.J. Hinch ever did. So if Dusty Baker is getting all this, like, hate because of his lineups, A.J. Hinch didn't have anywhere close to this amount of hate. People weren't saying that the Astros were winning in spite of A.J. Hinch, and then Dusty Baker makes that move that A.J. Hinch did in 2019. Absolutely, he takes way more heat.
I think that, again, it's possible. I think the other thing is because Dusty's, I mean, because A.J. was always going to be more aligned with the, whoever the general manager was and whatever the decisions were going to be made. So he played it close to the vest. And did it a different, a completely more of an organizational way, almost like a, you know, the good kiss ass manager way. Whereas Dusty's going to do whatever he's going to do. So yeah, if there were Dusty moments leading up to that that we were questioning,
yeah, which there would be, right?
I would assume that there would be.
Like,
yeah,
we've always had those thoughts with Dusty. Like every stop that Dusty's been, he's had things like this. 713-780-3776.
I was going to say real quick, but don't you think though, the same way we made this comparison about like a quarterback that doesn't care about grooming the quarterback of the future, or that's more big picture, they're worried about this season. I think that's, if you're looking at it from Dusty's perspective, he's sitting back going, I don't really care who you're grooming for next year. I don't know if I'm going to be here or not. All I'm caring about is this season. And so if I'm caring about this season, I need Maldi in the moment. I need Maldi to know that I've got his back, and I'm going to be with him, and I'm going to believe in him.
Yeah.
And I can't afford to alienate him if I'm trying to win another World Series.
I want to ask a question off of that on the other side. Also, are you looking at the standings? Rangers 4.5 games up in the Astros. Are you looking at the standings yet? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. One thing that I recommend to all of you, no matter if you like Dusty or you dislike Dusty, is a goal from Produnk Hoops. Dusty loves basketball. I talked to Dusty Baker before a basketball game for 5 minutes last spring. He's a heck of a guy. But he also loves goals from Produnk. I believe he does. Why wouldn't he? Because he likes high-quality things. And the goals from ProDunk are the absolute highest-quality basketball goals that you will find, unlike anything else that you'll find in the big-box stores. You won't see cheap goals that have a broken backboard, the glass is shattered. You won't see a bent-up rim. You won't see it laying on its side. No. ProDunk has the highest-quality basketball goals that you'll find, and you can rely on them. Tempered glass backboard, breakaway rim. It's got rust-proof holes, which is huge with the Houston humidity, and it's height adjustable, anywhere from 5 feet to 10 feet, anywhere in between. If you want to throw down some jams, lower it down. You want to work on your shot, you want to get it to regulation size, raise it up to 10 feet. It is great. Anywhere in between 5 to 10, it is outstanding. Their accessories are next level as well. It's hot in Houston. You might not want to shoot hoops till it's the evening time, till it's night. You might get off work. Your kids might have other events during the summer, camps, things like that. Only time to play is at night. Well, they have LED light kits for night play. Backstop nets. You don't have to chase the basketball all around the place. Those backstop nets will take away some of that legwork. You can order everything, including professional installation online as well. ProDunk Hoops professionally installs your goal, perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't do a thing. Let the pros do all of the work for you. Give them a call at 281-351-9822 and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude. Totally. Welcome back, Houston. It's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You remember that depressing song Joe George played to bump us back yesterday? Doesn't this put you in an immediately better mood than that depressing emu stuff he was playing yesterday? Emu, emo, I don't know how to say it. Little bitty bitty bomb bomb?
Yeah, I just don't know what.
You don't like Selena?
What did I say? I never said a damn word about it.
You I can read everything you're saying based on your voice. Yesterday. Oh, well, I just saw the angry look on your face. Jeez. The disgusted look on your face.
I'm disgusted with Joe's performance on a daily basis.
This is a great song. Joe's playing the hits on the nines, I guess. He's requesting rejoin music because we're bashing his rejoin music because he's playing depressing stuff yesterday. And I sent him a Twitter request to play a little Selena, and he came back immediately with it. So if you're a fan of the Killer Bees and you think that Joe George's rejoins have been subpar since he took over for the fired Brendan Riley, send your request to what's your Twitter name?
At Joe George Radio.
I knew what it was.
I'm a man of the people.
He's a man of the people. He's willing to pander to the popularity.
Yeah, Junior and I are best friends.
They have a love-hate relationship that's mostly centered around hate.
He was in the chat on Saturday from 12 to 2 on the bullpen.
Was he?
He was there.
That's funny.
Okay.
Yeah, so you send your request to Joe. He's a man of the people. He's willing to play him. So you asked a really good question about the Dusty thing, the short-term thing, because I get that. Like, Dusty's on a one-year contract. Like, what does Dusty care a whole lot about doing what's right for the organization for 2025 through 2030? He cares about the immediate, right. The right now, winning back-to-back World Series. The counterpoint that I would make is Yiner Diaz the better short-term solution? Like, is his loyalty blinding him from the short-term solution?
There's no doubt that's it. But that's, you know, that's kind of what I was talking about. The same way we criticize and the media is hypercritical if a veteran quarterback doesn't want to play big brother and groom a young quarterback. I think if you're Dusty and you're sitting back and you're thinking and hearing all the noise and seeing what everybody has to say and you're thinking, don't give a rat's ass about the next year or the next year or the next year. My goal is that regardless of when I decide to finally hang it up, I want to win another one. I'm focused on just everything that I need to do for this year to get to winning another one. And I'm going to do it my way because I believe that I know the blueprint that's right for this team in this scenario to get another one. And so you can tell me till you're blue in the face that this kid needs to play catcher. I'm going to tell you that I'm loyal to Maldi because he got me one already, and I know what he means to my pitching staff. And so I'm going to do what I feel is best from my chair,
yeah,
to make this team better, not only in the regular season, but ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's interesting because I think it's a really good point. Like, he's not on a one-year deal. He wants to do what's in the best interest of the immediate. But I think that the loyalty is kind of, you know, standing in the way. And I really believe he believes that his value of Martin Maldonado defensively outweighs the difference that Yiner and Maldi have offensively. 8437 is a fan. I'm allowed to love Dusty's playoff lineups and allowed to hate Dusty's regular season lineups. That's well said. Total Dallas, we asked the question as well. 713-780-3776. Are you watching the standings? Because the Rangers won yesterday. Astros lost. The Astros currently trail the Rangers by 4.5 games in the American League West. Total Dallas says, yes, the standings are my wallpaper.
Shocker.
Cool. How about you, Blankers? Are you watching the standings?
No, I mean, look, I keep an eye on the Rangers every night just to see what they're doing. It's not like I'm watching the standings and the games behind and feeling like what's insurmountable, when does it get out of control. But more so than anything else, I'm checking because they are the competition. Just like I would last year, I would see what Seattle was doing. So I'm keeping an eye on them. I'm becoming more of a believer that their offense is for real. I'm interested to see if their pitching can keep it going now that they've lost to Grom. But I believe that just like Seattle was their main competition a year ago, that this year the Rangers aren't going anywhere. And if there's one team that's going to be the thorn in the side or push the Astros, it's going to be Texas. So I keep an eye on them. I don't keep an eye on the standings.
Ocho says, look at the wild card standings. All right, Ocho. I have been looking at the standings. I think that a good, healthy race is fun. Now, I'm not one of those people who are like, oh, I want this rivalry. I want this to be hated, like a, you know, bitter, hated rivalry between these two. I much rather have the Astros leading the division by 10 games and cruise to an AL West title than any sort of race. Because I think that it is beneficial. Like, you lock yourself into a top two seed. You get home field advantage with the new playoffs in Major League Baseball. You can rest guys along the way. You can kind of set up your pitching, set up your rotation for a postseason run. So I much rather cruise to a division title than be in a race. But from an entertainment point of view, it is kind of fun to have a race that you're starting to watch in June. Because this is something that kind of takes you away from the monotony of what can be a boring regular season. Where you have a legitimate race in the division, I think it does add to some entertainment value.
I could take your entertainment value and throw it out the window immediately, because when it comes to the Astros, I'd rather have them cruising to another.
Well, I mean, I said that too.
I know, but I just, and especially because it's Dallas, because their fans are so over the top and just looking for a reason to try and be competitive with the Astros. It gets to be more of an annoying feeling than anything else, that I would like them to just bury everybody again and say, yeah, nice try, maybe better luck next year. And then, like you said, you can start making the necessary adjustments and trying guys out at positions and doing the things you need to do, because you have a cushion to get you ready for the playoffs. And they did that a year ago when they were figuring out different guys at different positions and lineups and getting guys time to see if they're going to be a part of the playoff roster. That's what I would love to see. And obviously, I thought that they might be in a position already to have a lead in the division. They're not. So it is what it is, and you have to deal with an interstate rival that really wants it to be a rivalry when it hasn't been.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I think it does add a storyline, though. Like, it adds a storyline to the regular season that, you know, sometimes hasn't been there for the Astros. OG says, I'm calling it now. Astros win the division by 7 games. Poncho says the Rangers serve as a pace car right now. They'll take an exit eventually. Don't sweat it. Not that I'm sweating it. Not at all. But I think whenever you look up in the standings, 4.5 games behind the Rangers that have a Hall of Fame head, you know, manager as well, Bruce Bochy, they have one of the best offenses in baseball. They also have a solid pitching rotation. They need some help in the bullpen, but the bullpen's the easiest thing to figure out. It adds an element of entertainment. It adds an entertaining storyline to the dog days of summer. So, you know, it's something to look at. It's a storyline to look at. Willie was asking where you went out to, Joe George. He noticed on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, that you left the studio. You
again.
Left the production room, probably to let an intern open the door of an unlocked door.
I'm allowed to use the restroom and then answer questions the interns have.
Okay. All right. I figured you would do that during the breaks.
Next break's a minute and a half.
713-780-ESPN.
You need more than 90 seconds to... Or were you planning to sit and stay a while?
No, I went to the bathroom very quickly, and then I answered questions.
Oh,
it's a good man. He's wearing a bunch of different hats. 713-780-3776. All right, in honor of Jacob DeGrom, he's out for the year. Tommy John, no surprise to any. Probably Yao Ming. We can throw him in this conversation as well. Who is a player in history that you would give your blank to ensure their health? Like, if it's Jacob DeGrom, right now he has a torn UCL, so you're giving your UCL to DeGrom. Yao Ming had a bad foot. You're giving your foot, literally giving your foot to Yao Ming. Who is a player that you would give your whatever to ensure that they're healthy? 713-780-ESPN. Who's on that list for you? Who are you giving up? What are you giving up? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm an idea man, Chuck.
This is Bill. Idea to eliminate garbage. Edible paper.